in any sort of official capacity, it's done, and I don't believe there is much afoot to revive it. And I don't know that. I haven't done extensive research. I Googled and read a bunch of articles, and some of them with history to them 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I read one from 2004. It was very interesting about selling merchandise with a bonfire on it. And the president was like, all right, it's been 5 years. Sell the T-shirts. So they started selling bonfire T-shirts again. I'm like, a bunch of kids died. If you don't know, going back like to the 1920s, Texas A&M, and it's been long enough, it was 98, I believe it was, or 99, that Texas A&M started a tradition, I think it was in the 20s, of they'd have a bonfire before the Texas game. And when I say bonfire, it probably started out as a bonfire, which what is that? You like put some rocks and stones and whatever in a circle and throw some stuff in the middle and you got a bonfire. Well, there weren't enough rocks or stones or anything else to encircle this bonfire as it grew over the years. And part of the goal was to make this year's larger and brighter and hotter and burn longer than last year's. And this thing would go on like, folks, it was bigger than houses. Like way, way, way up there. Well, you got to cut and stack. And while constructing this thing, before you're going to set it ablaze, it collapsed. A bunch of kids died. So it was, and when I say tradition, there's no school I've been around, and I don't even know all of them, folks. There is no school I've been around that I have seen as steeped in, like, we cannot function unless we are part of this tradition right now because it's the end of the third quarter or the game is over and Jimbo Fisher's looking around going, what do? We lock arms and, oh, we squat some. And, like, I was like, oh, my goodness. His first game at Texas A&M, I was like, YouTube video, dude. You got to look more comfortable doing that, whatever that is. There is more into the tradition and process and everything at Texas A&M than any other SEC school I'm aware of. They all about it. And so that bonfire, it grew and grew and grew, and part of the goal was making it bigger than the year before instead of just celebrating that the Texas game is here and we're going to stay up all night and, you know, have marshmallows. That wasn't what it was about anymore. And then it collapsed. A bunch of kids died. There is a private, not affiliated with the university at all, group of A&M donors that have been reviving the bonfire in a secret location that not even all the A&M fans know about. This sounds creepy to me. And it just sounds like something you don't want to be associated with. I mean, let's be a bunch of old white men out in the woods with a bonfire and not everybody is welcome and knows the location. Thankfully, the description ends there. Bad look. So that's what's going on. There is a private bonfire that if you're in the club, all right, well, we'll let one more in this year. Hey, bonfire getting a little bigger. Folks, when I say we don't get that anymore and it's good, the university has said no. And on all the memorabilia and merch that they sell, the T-shirts, they have caps. It's bonfire-related slogans, and people eat it up in College Station, but all of them are, got to have the memorial on the side of it. There's a insignia for the memorial, and then part of the proceeds go to victims' funds and whatever else. I have a bunch of lawsuits from that. But it is part of their history, and there's a lot of folks that still value it and would like to bring it back. It's not coming back, and we don't want that, I don't think, in 2023. Not anyone, I'm going to say, and I'm going to go like broad brush. I'm going to say if you're under 40, you have no interest in that in the world, and if you haven't heard of it, and you get, like, there's somebody listening right now going, they built a bonfire bigger. Dan, yeah, you're from, I usually bring him in for a segment. You're from Texas. That bonfire, bigger than a house, right?
It was up there.
And so this thing would be huge, 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 huge. And so you would have to cut and stack and then climb and climb and climb and then it toppled. Does that sound very 2023 to you? Because it doesn't sound very 2023 to me.
Well, they're a school of engineers, though, so they know how to do that thing.
Supposed to. I graduated from school with a fantastic engineering program. I got a fantastic engineering program at Georgia Tech about 4 miles from my house. Does it seem very 2023? Let me describe what we're talking about here with this Texas A&M bonfire. Bunch of drunk college kids around a massive fire trying to make it bigger than the year before. What about that sounds good? Because not a lot to me. So when I say we don't really even want, we don't get it, but do we really want that? Because I don't think we do. Think in sports, how many things it used to be normal, and I'll say even expected, and at some points demanded, that we look out now and go, Did you notice for any reason what happened at Fenway Park 2 weeks ago? Tampa came in, and the Boston Red Sox played a doubleheader against the Tampa Bay Rays. And it was not a rain out. It was not a makeup game. It wasn't COVID or something, so we pushed some stuff back, and there were seven innings. If you had gotten the trifold glossy Boston Red Sox schedule back in February, you could have looked on the schedule, and at the end of May, would have said Toronto DH, and you would go, what, they're using the designated hitter? Because you'd have never seen that, probably. Do you know why? The last time the Boston Red Sox had a scheduled doubleheader, it was 1978. Now, I'll give them credit. They were ahead of the curve, but they were way ahead of the curve. We don't want doubleheaders anymore, and they got phased out in Major League Baseball. Like 2004 or 5 or 6 or 7, at some point I remember reading an article in Sporting News that it was the first season in history that Major League Baseball, there was not one scheduled doubleheader. And I remember thinking, that's cheap. They want two admissions. And then I stopped halfway through my rant, and I was like, Nobody wants to sit there for 18 innings anymore. I went to a doubleheader when I was in summer after my eighth grade year. I thought it was the end of the rainbow. Padres were in Atlanta sometime in July 82. I was like, this is what it is. I got to be good so I get to go to heaven. Tell me I'm going to sit in a Major League Stadium now for 18 innings and the 30 minutes between? We don't want it anymore. Specifically in football. Two-a-days? Those are banned in some places. Folks, I coached on a staff where we had three-a-days. Now, the middle practice was about 45 minutes, and it was like from 1 to 1:45 or so, and it was just special teams. But we had three-a-days. Full contact scrimmages, you know, sort of every day. The power eye. How about punting on 4th and 4? All right, where are we? Oh, yeah, we're going to go for this. We are. Folks, pregame prayer. Think about all the things that we used to say, this is part of the experience, that is not part of the experience anymore. The experience has all kind of moved on. And I may have just reminded you of something as brutally physical as the power eye, where you get 22 people, this mass of humanity in the middle of the field, and it would look like tug of war between about the 40 and the 40. The Junction Boys. I think if that film came out today, Bear Bryant may get canceled. Like, that thing was tough and old school and throwback, and my goodness, and why don't we like that anymore? You know, it doesn't get shown very much anymore. Bear Bryant and how he, I don't say coach, how he treated the kids at Texas A&M. Does that seem very 2000? Because at some point, it stopped being what we do. I say it's the same thing, this bonfire, and so I hope the private people and private land who are having their private bonfire won't let everybody know who it is. Just kind of let that whittle down until it's just big enough for marshmallows. All right, we're going to take a break. Get into it on this Wednesday next.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-395-0342. 800-395-0342. 800-395-0342. Again, that's 800-395-0342.
Baseball, basketball, pickleball. Those are sports, and people love sports. If you love sports, you should know this. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. Does saving have anything to do with sports? No, but people love sports, so I'm yelling sports out. Hockey, swimming, golf! Not all sports have the word ball in there, so save big when you switch to Progressive. Go, sports teams!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-479-0931. 800-479-0931. 800-479-0931. That's 800-479-0931.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Hey, Randy, tell me about those hot chicks I've been hearing about.
Now, Tammy, I don't know any since we got married.
No, Randy, the baby chicks.
Oh, yeah, we're getting Rhode Island Reds, Americanas, Buff Orpingtons, and about six other different varieties.
Plus ducks, turkeys, geese, and guineas.
Hey, and raising chickens is a great family project.
And you get to look forward to fresh eggs.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and pick up your hot chicks today.
You can always count on the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Just like you can always count on Just-In-Time Jane. She's rescued you from more bad dates than you want to remember. Close-talking Clyde. Lied about his height, Larry. And lest we forget, Whispering Walt. He was probably a nice guy if you only heard a single word he said. Just-In-Time Jane is famous among friends. She deserves a Bud Light. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. ABC.
My brother-in-law died suddenly. And now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-449-8811. That's 1-800-449-8811. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-449-8811. That's 1-800-449-8811.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercial.
Sports Radio 740 is your home for Westwood One Sports. Coverage of college football, the NFL. It's all here on Montgomery's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 740.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I am a meeting member. And as that, I will say, you got to play who you play. All right? And it's the SEC. And what's the easy pass? So hush up. And as a coach, I would probably say, like the Kirby approach is just tell me who we're playing. All right, now I'm going to put all that aside. It's Chuck Oliver Show. We continue on this Wednesday. I'm going to put all that aside. I'm going to jump into my role as Auburn alum and very gracious donor, $250 a year, which I'm about to up, and I don't know how much, but I've been doing that since I graduated. I'm feeling put upon because my program is being volunteered for all manner of, quote, primary and secondary rivalry games. My program does not have a rivalry with Florida, folks, or don't try to start one. There already is Georgia and Bama on the schedule every year. So I'm looking for relief, not addition, okay? LSU, Texas A&M, hey, you know, Oklahoma and Auburn. I'm like, they played twice. All right, now I'm going to be a media member again. I want to welcome on right now college channel manager. He runs the place, Locked On Network, and host of Locked On Auburn, Zach Blackerby. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Happy schedule release day, if that's what we want to call it.
It's a thing. Tell me if an Auburn fan is listening going, yeah, I feel put upon too. Auburn is a very popular program to volunteer for these big rivalry games, and I felt educated over the past 24 hours. I found out that suddenly, like, I've got this rivalry with the Gators that I wasn't quite so aware of.
Yeah, I may be guilty of this. To some extent, on my show, we kind of rolled out, all right, who are the eight teams that we would want to play? And Florida made my list. I'm going to be honest with you. I think right now that's fine, right, because I'm not super impressed with what Billy Napier has done so far. That's just me. I don't think I'm alone in that, though. And so I think if Florida was on Auburn's 2024 schedule, we'll figure that out at some point today. We're seeing games get leaked throughout the day, so we'll see if we have to wait till tonight if that happens or not. But they're on my list, so I'm going to raise my hand and say, hey, I'm a little guilty of what you're talking about right now.
And that's fine. I just saying, lighten the load, man. I mean, I watched the I was there, the field goal in the rain, and it curved in. I just, it has been a great series of games, but I'm like, rivalries, slow down. There's plenty already on the schedule. Zach Blackerby, get him on Twitter at ZBlackerby. You were very fortunate. By the way, go on Twitter, and when I say give his Twitter address, ZBlackerby. You can watch and listen to him talk to Peyton Thorne, the presumed Auburn starting quarterback. Talk a little bit about his experience so far, at least through Zoom and now studying in person, because that's basically all it's been with Hugh Freeze and then also the new coach from Tulsa, Phil Montgomery.
Yeah, and he talked about his visit right before he committed, and, you know, a lot of people want to act like he committed without visiting. That's just false. So he talked about his visit. He talked about, you know, why Auburn, what was it, why he was interested in Hugh Freeze and Phillip Montgomery, and what aspects of the offense that kind of stands out to him. And, you know, they've had such success with quarterbacks, both of them. That was something that was important to him. But the thing that stood out to me, I asked about leadership, right? Because, I mean, that just kind of comes with a position naturally. If you're a quarterback, you need to be the leader of the team. So I asked him how he's dealing with that, because he's kind of coming on late in the process. You know, the way the spring transfer window works is, okay, well, spring's behind you, and you really can't do organized team stuff until the fall outside of workouts. So how are you dealing with that? And, you know, he said a few things that he's trying to really focus on. Like, you never want to walk past somebody in the hall without knowing their name, and whether it's a player, whether it's a support staff member or a coach or a trainer, whatever it may be. So I think that stood out to me, and just really the intentionality and everything that he's doing, because he's, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of time before the season starts, and just really focusing on the playbook and making sure he's kind of got all these details lined up and all of his ducks in a row.
So I remember the kid, I think it was Zach Farrar, came down. I was like, big kid, can he play? And then Coy Moore came over, and I was like, big recruit, he might play some, and he was okay. He was an upgrade, so you'll take an upgrade. Shane Hooks is supposed to be more than that. Tell me what your opinion, your understanding of the coaching staff's opinion of what he can do, because there's snaps available, man.
There are at that position, and I don't think this coaching staff really knows how all that's going to fall together yet at this point, because him and Jair Shorter, the kid from North Texas, both coming in, they're going to take some snaps from somebody. I don't know exactly who, but they're going to get on the field. So, yeah, you look at Hooks and what he did at Ohio before he went to Jackson State to play for Deion. I mean, he was Deion's main piece in that receiving part of that offense. And he was a decent route runner. He was really good at high-pointing the football with his size. Listen, at 6'5", he's a very, very long target. And so, you know, I think that's kind of a thing that we saw Peyton Thorne use at Michigan State, because his receivers, even though he was throwing to two NFL receivers at the time last year, you know, one's been drafted by the Packers, the other will be drafted this upcoming year. Those guys, like, didn't consistently get open. Peyton had to, you know, throw the ball to where they could high point it and win 50-50 contests. And I think with Auburn's receiving room, that's still going to happen. Whether it's a Shane Hooks, whether it's a Jair Shorter, whether it's a Camden Brown or a Valdo Fairweather, three of those four guys are new guys, by the way. I think it's going to have to be stuff like that. And so these bigger bodies, which is what Hugh Freeze has liked from his receivers, even dating back to when he was at Ole Miss, I think we're going to have to see a lot of those guys.
All right, last thing. Zach Blackerby, by the way, locked on Auburn, also Auburn Daily, Sports Illustrated. So that's big time. There is off-season transgression where the remedy is you run some stadiums or do up-downs or, you know, whatever, extra conditioning. What's Jarquez's Hunter's situation right now? Because it was not normal off-season suspension. Just about 30 seconds, if you could.
Yeah. You know, they're being pretty hush-hush about all of this. If I had to guess, Jarquez Hunter plays this upcoming season. And, you know, there's more players involved than just Jarquez Hunter. Yeah. There's more people involved than just Jarquez Hunter. So want to be very careful when we talk about this, but if I had to guess, my prediction is Jarquez Hunter plays for Auburn in 2023, which is, I guess, the biggest question in all of us.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like setting off extinguishers in the players' dorm or something like that that gets you suspended. This is a little different. Zach, appreciate you as always, man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Zach Blackerby, check mark. You know it's him. So he didn't pay the $8. He's always had it. So that's an off-season behavior sort of thing where you're not a necessary, I'm going to say, you're not arrested. You're not, it's not involving weaponry. I'll tell you, there was one spring, like March, end of March, where there was weaponry and a robbery and like three Auburn players. I was like, oh boy. Shy of that, it's supposed to be I was late. I didn't go to class. I mouthed off. I parked where I wasn't supposed to a lot and didn't pay any of the tickets. That's what it was supposed to be. This is sort of 2023-ish technology-wise, so it's just a different sort of situation all around for Hugh Freeze. You don't have to play the game to change the game, and you don't need to be a scout to find the NASDAQ's most innovative players. You can become an agent of innovation by investing in Invesco QQQ, the ETF that gives you access to some of the top NASDAQ 100 companies, revolutionizing the sport you know and love. Huddle up with the NASDAQ's 100 most innovative companies in one ETF. Invesco QQQ is the official ETF of the NCAA. You've been checking the ticker your whole life since they started running scores across the screen. Now start checking the grown-up ticker. QQQ is the symbol.
There are risks involved with investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETFs are subject to risks similar to those of stocks. Investments focused in the technology sector are subject to greater risk and are more greatly impacted by market volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 Index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies traded on the NASDAQ. An investment cannot be made directly into an index. Before investing, carefully read and consider fund investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and more in prospectus at Invesco.com. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Attention businesses of all sizes affected by COVID-19. The federal government has introduced the Employee Retention Credit. It's a new relief program that allows you to collect up to $26,000 per employee. If your business was forced to close due to COVID-19 or you lost 20% or more of your sales, you may qualify for free financial relief. There's no limit to the amount you can file for, and you don't have to pay the money back. Call Park Settlement now. They'll explain to you how much you qualify for and how fast the funds can be in your business bank account. To find out if you qualify for the ERC program, call Park Settlement right now for details. There's no upfront cost to you, and you could receive up to $26,000 per employee. Call right now for details. 800-245-1984. 800-245-1984. 800-245-1984. That's 800-245-1984.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call 1-800-217-4380. That's 1-800-217-4380. Again, 1-800-217-4380.
Research shows that successful ad campaigns share eight characteristics. Radio is the only local media option that delivers all eight. Radio reaches your potential customers close to the point of purchase. We provide local consumer interactions with emotional connections to build trust and credibility for your business. Radio is unskippable and quick. We can get your message out in 24 to 48 hours, and radio is very affordable. That's why radio consistently gives you the highest return on investment. It should always be your base media buy. Research also confirms that marketing campaigns generate even higher returns, starting at a 19% lift when they are on more than one platform. That's why Cumulus offers a variety of effective digital solutions to enhance your radio buy. At Cumulus, we're your one-stop shop to deliver a coordinated radio and digital campaign that will get you results. Hi, I'm Ernessa Leverett, and it's my job to get your business results on Sports Radio 740. To learn more about how to get started, go to sportsradio740.com and click on Grow Your Business.
Tomorrow morning at 7, it's John, Barry, and the Budweiser Sports Line. Montgomery's sports leader is Sports Radio 740. Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Here is the best news possible for Oklahoma and Texas fans. No matter what schedule is announced tonight, it's way better. That's five ways. Way better than any Big 12 conference schedule that you could conjure. If I let you cherry pick a one-season conference slate, flesh that out for you. Who are you getting on campus? Like, literally, I'll let you pick the games you want. If you're Texas and OU, who would you get on campus? Maybe Oklahoma State, maybe Texas Christian. I don't know. Kansas State, Baylor, folks, and I just let you pick. All right, there's going to be a lot of complaining tonight about how'd they get this so wrong. Greg Sankey and everybody in Birmingham get this as wrong as possible. And folks in Austin and Norman are going to go, boy, that's better. Because we just had a home slate with Iowa State, Kansas, and Texas Tech. Want to welcome on right now. Now, everybody else in the SEC has got to deal with it, but Texas and OU, they're in high cotton. Want to welcome on now from the SEC Network, Chris Doering. How you doing, brother?
Good morning, Chuck. How are you, man?
I'm blessed. Run those scenarios through your mind. If you're the average Texas or OU fan and the home slate you've been getting versus, like, literally the worst one you can get now, everybody's going to get at least LSU or Florida. Texas is getting Georgia at home, I think. Give me your opinion on Texas and OU. And now the coach has got to go out and win the games, but just the whole fan experience, because this is a massive upgrade.
Oh, it's definitely a massive upgrade. And I think they'll probably be pretty happy there, too, for a while. It seemed like Oklahoma was playing 11 a.m. local starts every week, and I know the fans were pretty upset about that. So they'll get an opportunity to play some later games against some better opponents. But, I think that's really what college football has been focused on the last couple of years, is upgrading the schedules and giving the fans an opportunity to come see more meaningful games and see more games against teams that they don't typically get a chance to see. So with the elimination of the divisions, you'll get more rotations through the conference as a whole more often. With Oklahoma and Texas coming to the league, you certainly get some new opponents for those two teams and some new trips for SEC fans, the existing fans, to go experience. So I'm excited about the upcoming year. I feel bad because it makes us almost look past the 2023 season, which is right ahead of us, but a lot to get excited about with OU and Texas joining, and certainly the expansion of the 12-team playoff.
All right, this is something you can do as well, because I was just talking about my alma mater. I was a student at Auburn. I got a diploma. And so I was talking from a fan and graduate perspective. You do this from the University of Florida perspective, because you went there, you graduated, you're an alum, and you write a check every year. Your program is particularly popular to volunteer for rivalries as well. Oh, Florida, let's give them LSU. Give them Auburn is now, and that's something I was talking about. I was like, they've had great games. I don't know that they've got this great rivalry you have to have every year. And Tennessee and Georgia. The Florida program, it's supposed to be a wood chipper every year. Right now, that's a tough row for whoever, Billy Napier, or whoever's in charge of this program, the way the schedule may get loaded up. What's your opinion of how it may look?
Yeah, I'm actually lamenting the fact that at least, you know, in the interim, there's a good chance you lose Tennessee off that schedule. I mean, that was one of the great rivalries that kind of popped up out of nowhere in 92 when the divisions were created. So that's one that I would feel personally sad about not having a chance to play every year. Like you mentioned, shoot, I was a fan growing up in Gainesville, loving the Auburn series. I mean, getting Bo Jackson to come to town was a big deal. Having played twice in Jordan-Hare myself, I always loved that rivalry. So I'd love to see that one back on the board, particularly because it's the closest campus in proximity to Gainesville. So that makes a lot of sense. And the LSU game, I mean, is one that has meant a lot to both fan bases here in the last couple decades. So I know that some of that's going away. Georgia obviously is the most important rival within the conference, and I would say on Florida's schedule in general, some would argue FSU, but I think, you know, like Coach Spurrier mentioned to us when he came to Florida in 1990, he said, hey, if we want to accomplish any of our goals that are on our list, it starts with beating Georgia, and I think that has to be first and foremost on Florida's to-do list going forward.
All right. I'm not banging on anybody. I'm just going to relate some because I think most people listen to Kirk Herbstreit and his comments about Alabama and why they'll challenge and beat LSU and whatever. It was just a May interview, and people talked about it like it's the 11th commandment. Chris, I'm going to tell people behind the scenes, like, we don't text each other questions. My producer doesn't send you, and Chuck will ask about this. We kind of spin the wheel, and it lands where it lands. And so Kirk Herbstreit sort of made a comment that the best thing he could come up with was, well, Nick Saban's motivated. And I'm like, all right, you can be motivated all you want, and it doesn't help you block Mason Smith. Give me some more because they ain't got a quarterback. I really don't think they have a quarterback. Tell me something more concrete than Nick Saban's motivated that Bama can win the West in the final year or overtake Georgia again or be conference champions, because I think they can, but I just don't have a very likely path for it. I think they're actually creeping the other way. What do you think, though?
I agree with you. I mean, first and foremost, you had the luxury of going from Hurts to Tua to Mac to Bryce, and now it doesn't look like it's going to have that smooth a transition. We don't know which of those three that are vying for the starting job are actually going to win the job. And even if they do have a clear-cut favorite, is he going to be able to produce at the level that Bryce Young was? Certainly not. I mean, I think Bryce Young covered up a lot of the deficiencies on that Alabama offense last year. The receivers weren't very good. A ton of drops in crucial situations. Can't get open against one-on-one coverage. The offensive line the last couple of years has been inconsistent. Hadn't been up to the level of expectation that we typically see from the Tide. And not to mention the fact you lose two coordinators, too. So I know Nick Saban's been able to deal with that coordinator loss pretty smoothly in the past, but there are a lot of things that are telling me, like you said, that Alabama's kind of trending in the other direction. And let's not even forget what I think is maybe the rest of the division catching up. I think LSU is my clear-cut favorite to get back to Atlanta this year. I love Jaden Daniels. I love the progression of that team last year. I had a chance to cover the Citrus Bowl down in Orlando for ESPN Radio last year, and just watching the confidence that team has and the fun that they have playing together. Really, at that point in time, I picked LSU to win the West. And I think, you know, if I had to compare rosters right now, I give LSU the nod in terms of talent. And I've become a big Brian Kelly fan. What he did last year to help that team grow from where they were against FSU to where they ended at the end of the season was a masterful coaching job and a great illustration of what a perfect leader he is for that job.
What does Will Rogers do really, really well, and what will his transition be? Because it's not an insignificant change this season.
Will Rogers, you said? Will Rogers' yeah. offense? That the point? Yeah. It's funny, man, because I think there's a couple quarterbacks in this conference that aren't being talked about enough. There's nobody that has more snaps under his belt as a starting quarterback than Will Rogers, and I understand you know, some of the doubt in terms of the direction of the offense with Mike Leach passing away and seemingly being a perfect fit for that offense, the way it was being run under his leadership. So I understand overlooking, you know, Will Rogers a little bit, but I think to this point it's a bit disrespectful as well. I mean, it's a guy that, as I said, has been in the fire for 4 years now and certainly, you know, playing really tough competition in the West. So, I think he'll adjust fine. We talked to Zach Arnett a couple times, and he's just really been complimentary of the type of leader that Will Rogers has been during this tough time and the transition that's taken place. So, I don't expect Mississippi State to compete for winning the West this year, but I think Will Rogers is one of the most under-talked about quarterbacks in the conference this season.
Wrapping up, Chris Doering, SEC Network. I mentioned the kid as an example because being motivated does not help you block Mason Smith. I was asking a buddy of mine because my top tier, my final, like, and if you have one or two of these, like a Julio Jones, Adrian Peterson, are you're a game wrecker. I said, like, Nick Fairley was a game wrecker, Will Anderson. I was like, is Mason Smith a game wrecker? The response was, he's the best player on the team. I was like, okay, tell me more. Give me your opinion of Mason Smith, because everybody swears, including him, he's healthy, ready to rock and roll. How impactful do you think he can be? Because that's high praise.
It's like
you don't have to agree with it, by the way.
No, I agree. I mean, it was a huge loss last year, and to get him back, if he is, in fact, 100% healthy, it's like going out and getting a high-priced free agent in the NFL. You know, this is a guy that immediately – makes your defense better and certainly creates opportunity for other guys. I mean, I think that's what sometimes is lost, particularly when you have a guy that's as tough to block on the interior as Mason Smith is. I mean, what it does in terms of forcing the LSU or the opposing offensive lines to have to double team a guy like Mason Smith, the one-on-one opportunities. And yeah, this was something I talked to Pete Golding about when I was in Oxford. It's like the fun thing that he enjoys as a defensive coordinator is helping to create one-on-one. And when you have a guy like Mason Smith on LSU's defense, you can scheme different things that are going to create one-on-ones for other players. So he's going to be productive as an individual for LSU, but I also think that it's going to open up and make other individuals on that defense a lot better because of his presence returning to the lineup.
We've all talked about me, by the way, I'm guilty, hand up, about, oh my God, can Jimbo and Bobby Petrino play nice? Let's watch that sandbox. Well, let's talk about Bobby Petrino, though, because I don't think enough is made about that guy's, and I said the combination of plays, and there's stuff he shows in the first quarter. I'm like, he gained the 4 yards. That wasn't the point. The point is he's bringing it back in the second half. He's a fantastic play caller, in my opinion. Give me your opinion of what his impact on the offense can be if he really does have the keys and gets to drive the thing, because I just think he's fantastic.
I think he's fantastic as well. And people can say what they want about his personality, but having been around him before covering Arkansas games when he was in Fayetteville and listening to what he commands or what he demands of his offense in terms of the knowledge of the defense. I was in the wide receiver room, and they had all the different zone pressures up, and they required all of the receivers to understand and be able to identify all of the different zone pressures that they were going to be seeing that week. And, like, That's a lot that that you're asking guys outside of the quarterback room to know. Receivers aren't always tasked with that, having that sort of knowledge about what the defenses are doing. So I just think he's a guy that's a really good teacher, a really good schemer, certainly a really good play caller. I mean, go back to last year in Fayetteville. Yep. Missouri State was winning that game against Arkansas because of what they were able to do offensively. So I think a lot of him. I mean, but if you look at that, that entire staff, I mean, they got some between DJ Durkin, Steve Adazio, Bobby Petrino. You got four guys along, three guys along with Jimbo Fisher who have head coaching experience at the major college football level. So I think that's certainly a benefit. But it also requires, some checking the egos at the door as it relates to, acquiescing to what Jimbo Fisher as the head man wants to do and being able to understand that it's not your program the same way it was when you guys were each head coaches elsewhere.
All of the media credentials I told you, and the man's got an NFL pension. Good be Chris Doering. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chuck. Good to be with you, man. Take care.
All right. Chris Doering, SEC Network. So, played about a decade in the league and caught a bunch of passes, and so he got a pension. And now he talks about football during football season. And also co-host SEC This Morning, Sirius XM. So everything's rolling along. Chris Doering, when it comes to SEC football, a really good source. Appreciate his time. Dan, good get. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will bounce back and wrap up Hour 1 on the Chuck Oliver Show.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. Billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
800-681-8020. 800-681-8020. That's 800-681-8020. Paid for by Legal Alert Line.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families. And you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-762-1537. 800-762-1537. 800-762-1537. That's 800-762-1537.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 4.25% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union. Your life. Your goals. Your ASE. Federally insured by the NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
ASE Credit Union.
Whoever just hit those brakes hard for no reason was definitely not you. Eric never brakes randomly on the highway, Rubino, because you are a safe driver. Unlike most drivers who sign up for Snapshot from Progressive, which customizes your rate for how and how much you drive, you could earn a discount for your good driving. So keep on being you. Eric never brakes randomly on the highway, Rubino, and we'll keep on delivering the discounts. Sign up for Snapshot today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or for all agents.
What's up? It's a Target trend alert. New swim has just arrived and it's sunny weather approved.
If you're into bikinis or one pieces, high waists or cutouts, they're the perfect combo of trendy, flattering, and affordable.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And there are so many cool styles with gorgeous details. These suits have macrame, crochet, wood beads, pretty shells, and more. Totally a luxe for less vibe.
Yes, so dive in and shop this Target trend without the spend.
Hey, y'all, Lewis at the Capitol Oyster Bar over here on that beautiful Alabama River. And this weekend, we're going to be Father's Day headquarters. That's right. Get your pa and your grandpa and come on down here and join us. We'll cook up some fresh seafood for you. Got a fryer, a steamer, and a grill. Got a good ribeye. So we got something good for you to eat. Check it out, CapitalOysterBar.com. And go to our Facebook page. You'll see not only a menu, but how to rent a pontoon boat and the RV park, our schedule, and everything else you need to know. Get down here soon. Come hungry and happy Father's Day to all you fathers.
Sports Radio 740 is available in crystal clear HD on an HD radio receiver. Tuned to 95.1 HD2. Sports Radio 740.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
You just brought in our big rival to the conference, so we should get you should get us a make good, and you should play the game in our backyard. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with going out on the offensive and saying this is how things are going to go, and we all be darned, man. We better have that game in our backyard. I don't agree with that.
Greg McElroy, Always College Football Podcast. Not impressed by Texas A&M the administration, fans, whomever, sense of entitlement that they got to host Texas the first game in the renewal of the series. I didn't get a lot of substance there, and that's the reason I want to comment about this. We'll flip it around. Well, what should happen then? Because there's only two teams involved. It's not like, which of these eight teams in Texas A&M is saying, it's us? No. Texas A&M saying, between us and the University of Texas, which program is going to host the first SEC matchup, the first conference game between these two? They're joining Texas joining the SEC, not Texas A&M. So Texas is jumping into the new conference. Texas is joining the conference that A&M has already been in and going, yeah, we had to be arm twisted to say yes and make nice. And so what McElroy is referring to, hey, because you shoved Texas into the conference, you owe us a bone throw. All right, I'm going to take myself out of this conversation from any, like, no opinion here. Because I do not have an opinion about A&M or Texas from the loyal fan, it hurts or bleeds or I love it and makes me warm and fuzzy standpoint. I don't. I am a disaffected person, as McElroy should be. He ain't got skin in that. I look at that and think the only factor I can come up with, the only variable, the only any sort of argument in one direction is A&M says they're joining the conference we're already in. And I look at Texas and say, yeah, they're right. So that's the only difference I could come up with. If we were creating it, say, like, you know what you did when the Big 12 started? It started. It wasn't South Carolina and Arkansas jumping into a new conference. It was, all right, we got a new conference called the Big 12. Who's in? Well, there was no history. No one was joining the conference first. Y'all joined together and you cut a ribbon and they did something like I'm sure everybody, like each president or AD got a shovel and you got to turn dirt and then they built the league office. So there was nothing that someone had already had territory over. That is the only measuring stick I can come up with. And I don't care who hosted the last one, and I don't care who's owed who and what to, and I don't care. This is an SEC game, and you're joining the SEC. So now, I will step out of that. So I will, as a disaffected third person, I can look, because Texas is one, Texas A, and they're interested. As a disinterested, like, it doesn't matter to me where the game's going to be. I get the game. I would say all I can come up with is that. Now, if y'all have more and they don't. So I would ask, flip it around. Greg, what if the announcement was Texas is joining the SEC and the highest profile game on their schedule, including OU, I think, is Texas A&M, and they're joining our conference, but we're going to put that game on their campus. Tell me what I know what everybody's commentary the next morning would be. Any radio show, TV show, Feinbaum be talking about it. Everybody would be talking about it. How could you disrespect Texas A&M? You not only bring the Longhorns into the conference, but the first year you send them out to Austin? Oh, my gosh. How could you do that? That's what it would be. It would be outrage. Again, over a story involving two programs that almost none of us have a connection to. I'm outraged over which side? This side. Today, I'm outraged that Texas A&M has a sense. I'm not. Greg McElroy. A&M has a sense of entitlement. All right, what if he gave the game to Texas? He and everybody else would be on that. Can you believe they disrespected the Aggies that way? They punched him in the face and said, you're equal from day one. Wow. So I didn't understand that. Dan, how's your Wednesday?
Chuck, I've told you exactly what it is, but I'll go ahead and explain it for those of you who have not heard me talk about Texas and A&M before in terms of a Goodfellas example. No more shines, Billy. That's what A&M is saying to Texas now. They're saying to Billy Batts, hey, I don't do that anymore. And as a matter of fact, you're in my bar, so you're going to follow the rules that I have. So I guess what? Does that make Greg Sankey, Jimmy Conway? Drinks are on the house.
No, not in any way.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I was trying to find where the
people
Robert
in Birmingham may listen. No, he's not like Jimmy Conway.
Okay, I was gonna say. I mean, I was trying to find who the Robert De Niro character in all of this would be, but that's what it is with A&M. I mean, this is a long drawn out history of for years, deep down knowing that they had to follow what was going on in Austin, whether they wanted to admit it or not. And finally, when they were able to break away and do their own thing, they did it. So now they've done it. They had been on their own, independent, away from Texas, not even have to worry about Austin for the longest time. Instead of looking to Austin, they were looking to Birmingham for their direction in terms of what to do. But now it was one of those things that, of course, when the news broke a couple of years ago from Brent Swornerman, they were one of the first ones to say, this ain't cool. We don't like it, but guess what? We're not going to be that in the punch bowl. We're going to go along with it, and we're going to go ahead and push this thing through. They can come over. But I guarantee you, though, it continued on where it was, all right, well, here's the deal. First one's going to be at our place. That's not negotiable. Like, we're not even going to talk about different ways to play this game. We're playing this game here. Then we'll go back and forth every other year. But that's exactly how this thing played out. And for A&M, it's now just a question of, do you have the team that can compete with Texas? Because A&M has been able to recruit for some time. We talked about this a little bit with Dave Bartu yesterday. Their problem has been one general problem. The head coach has been the issue, because you've got good coaches, you got good recruits. Now you just have to have good game day coaching. It seems like Sark has that in Austin. Once we get to that matchup next year, I think the question is going to be, does A&M have that?
Yeah, the biggest challenge ahead for a bunch of folks going chest out and pointing and all that, pretty soon the games get here. So you actually have to go out there and then back up that we're the better program and we should and we're owed and this and the. That's, you got to go out there and prove that pretty soon coming up. So fun hour one, and take a quick break, come back, kick off hour two next.
Meet Harper, teammate at Truist.
Hello.
She was born to care and always had your back. Like the time her friend's bumper car took a gnarly hit.
Oh, no.
His retainer went flying, but Harper caught it before it got crushed. Today, Harper's a teammate at Truist, the bank with Truist One checking. With no overdraft fees, $100 negative balance buffer, and automatic upgrades, Truist One checking has your back, too. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank. $100 negative balance buffer. Eligibility requirements apply. Truist Bank, member FDIC.
It's Chuck, and where are you right now? You in your car, you at home, maybe you're working. I'm in the studio. Well, where are we all going to be in 2 days? You can be at Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina. Anywhere you can hear my voice in the footprint of the Chuck Oliver Show, easy peasy drive to either Harris locations, honestly, either Harris Cherokee in Cherokee or Harris Valley River. It's about an hour away in Murphy, North Carolina. You can be there. You don't have to wait till Friday. You can go right now. Stay all weekend. I'm going to be there broadcasting the Chuck Oliver Show live from the casino floor. Now, casino floor at Harris Cherokee, it's always meant a lot. Throwing dice, turning cards, slot machines, all of that. Now it means the Caesar Sportsbook as well, live on site. Collegiate and pro sports wagering. You got people at the counters. You got the kiosk. Get your tickets. Watch the winners roll in. Make your plans. HarrisCherokee.com.
Must be 21 years of age or older to enter the casino floor and to gamble, and must present a valid state or federal photo ID upon request. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. An enterprise of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. 810-214-3710. 810-214-3710. That's 810-214-3710.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I should really give my dad a call.
Things you missed when you were tired suddenly come to light.
Wow, I'm a morning person.
At Mattress Firm, we know the right mattress matters. And at our 4th of July sale, you can get a king bed for a queen price and save up to $700 on select Sealy mattresses. Shop in-store or online at mattressfirm.com. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Ray Magliazzi here for eBay Motors. So you ordered a new air filter for your car. You try to install it, but it doesn't fit. So you take a little bit off the sides. What? Still doesn't fit? Well, you could try to sit on it. Or get it right the first time with eBay Guaranteed Fit. When you see the check, you know that part's going to fit. Air filters, brakes, headlights, over 122 million parts. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors, let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. You're driving along and some Nimrod cuts you off. You hit the horn. Jeez, it sounds like a goose in distress. Time to head over to eBay Motors. They have horns for every make and model, not to mention horn pads, steering wheels, wiring, and more. 122 million parts. You can even go for an upgrade. That looks like Mr. Cutoff Man needs a new seat cover. Try eBay Motors, pal. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh, yeah. Love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the dingarooski, the dingaroner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer. New customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line. Tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
Sports Radio 740 is WMSP-AM Montgomery. A Cumulus Media station. Montgomery's sports leader. Sports Radio 740. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up 20 minutes from now, we will preview the 2023 U.S. Open, the third major championship of the golf season, with Alex Myers, our friend, senior writer for Golf Digest. But first up, let's update you on some of the biggest storylines of the day with some audio. We call this segment the news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
What a cluster it is in Buffalo right now. High expectations once again this year. Can this team pull off a little redemption tour after everyone picked them a year ago, and then they couldn't even get out of the second round after Cincinnati embarrassed them? And you start off minicamp with Stephon Diggs is there, he's not there, he's there, he's not there, he's there. Well, what a mess this is. So he shows up Monday, gets the medical exams taken care of, then Tuesday reportedly had a meeting with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, didn't show up for practice. All we know, Sean McDermott yesterday said he was very concerned about him not being there. And then shortly after that, the agent said he's there in Buffalo and he'll be there tomorrow. And Josh Allen said a bunch of things yesterday, that they're working through some things that is not football related. And then today he showed up, ended up being the final minicamp practice. That's mandatory because they canceled the other one for tomorrow. And I don't think it's because of what's going on here. Teams do that all the time. But Sean McDermott today tried to kind of play the role of janitor and clean up the mess. And he had to prevent the ship that he jumped on and put a lot of weight on and started to sink it yesterday, tried to get it back to sailing A-OK. Here is Sean McDermott saying Stephon Diggs did nothing wrong yesterday.
Let me be clear. Steph did everything that he was asked to do. He was here Monday and executed his physical on time. Steph reported yesterday, Tuesday, and reported for meetings, at which time we had a good conversation. Great communication, and we got to a point yesterday where we just felt like we all needed a break and some space. And so I gave Steph permission to get some space and head out, and then picked up those conversations after practice. So let me make it clear, it was not Steph leaving unexcused. He was excused by me, and so those conversations have got us to what I think and believe is a great spot.
I love how he said they had great communication and good conversations, but then everyone needed a break. Seems like they had an intense therapy session where people are all annoyed at one another. And then to just end the session, they go, all right, Stephon Diggs, you go home. Or Steph, you know, stormed out Stephon Diggs. And he said, I'm not coming to practice today. And now they're just not trying to make this a bigger issue than what it already is. That math hickey, him trying to explain that yesterday, and what happened yesterday by the coach and Sean McDermott. Yeah, the communication's great. You know, we had some much needed conversations that everyone just needed a break. Trying to tell me that you had something happen that was very productive, but then if you needed a break, if it was actually productive, you wouldn't have needed a break, and he could have showed up to the monotonous mandatory minicamp session yesterday.
Right. Clearly he's not telling the truth, because it's not week 14 where your team is struggling and maybe tensions are high because there's a lot of pressure going into the season and it's not going as you want. Yeah. People get emotional. It's June 14th.
Yeah.
This is the second, or yesterday was the first mandatory practice you would have been at since the Bills season ended back in January. And already there's frustrations in the room. It's not a communication issue.
Oh, it could be a communication issue in terms of they just don't know how to communicate with one another. And they're just yelling. And this is like Real Housewives of New Jersey on the third reunion episode that I watched last night.
But again, it's like, what are you yelling about? And then who's in the wrong and who is upset? Still seems to me that Stephon Diggs is still the one that's, I would say, in the wrong. In terms of who... Yes. And yeah, I'll leave it at that.
I would probably agree with you that if you ask me, put my life on the line, who's sharing the biggest percentage of blame, it's Stephon Diggs. But the quarterback yesterday, Josh Allen, said they're working through some things that are not football related. And then we'll play you this cut from Sean McDermott, who kind of explains like what happened yesterday. This is cut four, says all is well between him and Diggs.
I feel like we're in a real good spot. So the rest of it, though, the details of it, again, I want to respectfully answer your questions, but at the same time, keep those conversations in house. You know, I feel like it's resolved. You know, I'm not going to get into what we did and didn't do. Feel overall that we take a hard look at the season in review, and we come out of those meetings with some real truths about what we could have done better, whether it's getting Steph the ball in this case. And listen, getting Steph the ball is an important part of our offense, right? That's not there's no reason to say it isn't. I mean, he's the big focal point of our offense in addition to Josh. And you know, it's important to get him going, and you know, the more production he has, the more production we have as an offense.
So do me a favor, Hickey. That's the coach making it seem like the issue is Stephon Diggs at the end of the season not getting the ball to his liking. Go back to yesterday with the quarterback in Josh Allen, and let's hear Josh Allen say it's not an actual football issue.
Oh, I know internally we're working on some things, not football related, but you know, Steph, he's my guy. I f-ing love him. He's a brother of mine. You know, this does not work what we're doing here without him. You know, we wish he was in here today and was out there on the field with us, and that's not the case, but I've got his back no matter what.
Okay, but you just said it wasn't football related. The coach basically made it seem as if it was a target.